Hi, it's Colin.
And Cadence.
And you're listening to the BeWatch Rewatch,
the podcast where we bring you the best of the worst that entertainment has to offer.
So come hang out with us and laugh along.
We promise you'll have a good time.
And we also promise shit's gonna get crazy.
It always does.
Hi, everybody, it's Colin.
Hi, it's Cadence.
Coming at you live from the dubs, from the dubs in the Utah. You're in Utah, right?
Yes, but when you said Utah, it confused me for a second.
That's a cool way to say it. The dubs in the Utah. Today we are, well, first off, how are you? How are things? Tell me about your life. What's going on?
You sound genuinely interested in
just
what's happening.
Zip it out. Let's go. Let's get through it so the listeners can hear what's going on. Let's go. Come on.
Not a ton.
Did you spend any more times in the pit?
Did you go to the pit this weekend?
Listen, I have been in so many pits over the last week. Pits.
I know. You love those mosh pits.
Edge of the pits. Center of the pits. Doesn't matter. This pit, I'm there. You got a pit?
Yeah, she's there. Cadence is there. She's running those pits. No, really. What's up?
The kids just finished school, thank goodness. The finals, like, of the last couple of weeks were absolutely insane. And so it's officially summer for them. And so I took a road trip up to Utah. Jed got me an Airbnb for a week. And then he took the kids to a work conference. So I get a week all to myself.
That seems different that you would take them to a work conference and you. I mean, I appreciate that you have a week to yourself. You need it, but still, it feels weird that he would take him to a work conference.
What about you?
Oh, just got back from Scotland yesterday. It was so beautiful. Accents real rough sometimes, but it's cute but rough, a little hard to crack down on sometimes, but had haggis for the first time.
Did you like it?
Well, I would never normally eat it, but you know, you're in Scotland for the first time. It was my first time in Great Britain, so I've been a little bit busy, but we're back now and I'm ready to do this podcast. Today, however, we're doing things a little different because I'm really good at technology and I'm really good at everything. No, we chose this movie. We were both going to watch it. I thought I had a way to watch it. But you guys, international, for some reason, all the best B movies, they just do not want foreign people to see. If you're
America
outside of the USA,
the
if you're outside of the USA, you can't watch these amazing B movies. So I had a really hard time and I actually wasn't able to see it. So today, switching it up a little bit, and Cadence is gonna just run the plot through me. Run the plot by me. What are you? You're gonna tell me the story of this freaking
movie. We're
gonna
run through the plot together.
Yes, she's gonna basically tell me the story of this amazing plot, and I'm just gonna try to follow along and ask questions. I'm gonna be the listener. I'm gonna be you guys today. I'm going to be your host.
Yeah, you totally will be.
And I'm going to ask all the questions that I know you guys are dying to ask because this movie is a real good one.
I found myself being infuriated several times. Never as much as Gigli, that's a given, but very close. I just couldn't understand why anybody thought this was a good idea. Anywhoozle, it's Alone in the Dark.
Alone in the Dark. It was made in 2005. It's got Christian Slater and Tara Reid, you guys. That's all we need to say. It's got, I think it literally has a 1% on Rotten Tomatoes, I think.
That's generous, even. That's
generous, even. I mean, it's a real bad movie, and I wasn't able to watch it, but I sure was able to see a lot of scathing reviews about it. So I'm excited to hear. It sounds like a real riveting storyline. Real good.
It's wild. Right, wild as The Pit, but
not as wild,
wild nonetheless.
All right, without further ado, let's get into it.
So in the beginning, we have the absolute longest text scroll that you have ever seen
like
in
Star
your
Wars
life.
Status?
No, longer. It's
long. It's a
book. I mean, at first, I thought, you know, the voiceover is like,
In 1967, mine workers discovered the first remnants of a long-lost Native American civilization, the Apkani. The Apkani believed there are two worlds on this planet, a world of light and a world of darkness.
And so I was like, okay, cool, I get the gist. And then they're like...
10,000 years ago, the Apkani opened a gate between these worlds. Before they could close it, something evil slipped through.
And you're like, okay. And then...
The Apkani mysteriously vanished terrifying from being creatures that thrive in the darkness. Bureau 713, the government's Hudgens built a laboratory hidden within an abandoned gold mine. He conducted savage experiments on orphaned children. Hudgens' victims survived as sleepers, lost souls, awaiting the moment of their calling.
You have to get a timeline out. You're like, okay, wait, the Apkani did what, when, and the who came in what time? And then they interbred with who?
Yes, it's legitimately like, you can't quite follow all the information. But then, because I was watching it on Amazon, they have the trivia option. And
of course you would pick the trivia option.
That's how I like to watch movies. But the trivia said that that whole long text scroll got added because when they were showing test audiences the movie, no one knew what the hell was going on. They were like, this is so confusing. There's no way to follow it.
So they just have to dumb it down at the beginning, but not actually dumb it down.
Mm-hmm, incredibly long. So it served that purpose. And I think they thought like, oh yeah, if we give this information, it's going to be smooth sailing from here on out. But it's so much information straight off the bat that nobody's ingesting that. There's just no way people are like, okay, now I have a solid base for the mythology of the Apkani people. Like, I'm good. I got this. No.
I'm ready to see what is in the dark and why I shouldn't be alone. So give us the gist of this novel at the beginning of the movie. What are we gaining from
learn
this?
About this ancient native tribe. They're called the Apkani.
Okay.
They believed in a spirit world and a physical world, which I don't know if you've ever heard this concept before.
Wow, you've already got me.
Just take a second.
Two worlds, one spirit, one physical. What? Keep going. So, now I can see why audiences couldn't wrap their mind around this.
They're like, you know what? I'm done. I'm not even going to finish.
I'm walking out. This is way too metaphysical for me.
So they tried to create like this kind of portal, essentially, to combine. Yes, the Apkani. So okay, to Apkani combine the spirit and the physical world together. It did not end well for them.
It never does.
And then in the 60s, some miners who were digging deep underground.
As they do. Releasing megalodons, releasing sand sharks, as per usual.
It always goes wrong when you're that deep. That's all. It's just never. It never goes
never
well.
Never good.
So they unleash part of these demons. Mm. And so it kind of becomes like a
demons.
Hub.
So the spirits are demons.
Yeah, because they make it sound very peaceful at first, but it turns out that they're like...
You know what? There's always going to be a bad egg that ruins the bunch. All the good spirits come through, there's going to be one sneaky little bad demon that gets through, and that ruins the whole fun of the experience.
So they release the worst part of these spiritual beings or whatever, and the mine becomes sort of like a hub, like a physical place where you can access easily this spirit world, okay?
Okay, go hang out with the ghosts, go chill. Hang out with Dean.
Right.
Also get some gold.
If you get some gold, even better.
Even better.
The Apkani decide that they don't want to mess with this anymore. So they had created this like puzzle that if all the pieces fit together and the key is put in the right place, then it will unleash the spirit world. But for right now, their solution is to send each piece of this puzzle far and wide.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Because what are the chances?
Out of sight, out of mind.
Right. So, and then the second part of the text.
Okay, this is a long text.
Because there's another part of the text.
Wow. Okay. You weren't messing around.
Is that because of this portal in the mine, a evil scientist doctor has decided to start doing experiments where now he is trying to combine the physical and the spiritual.
Why are all these people trying to combine physical and spiritual? What is the purpose of this? What's the end goal?
Yeah,
to have two people
purpose.
Living in your body, to just be arguing with a spirit living in your body? Like, I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Do they get superpowers? Do they get... I don't...
No. Not from what I gathered, no.
They didn't cover that in the text?
Nope. And there are plenty of these, like, demon zombies that come around later, and they're not, like, unkillable. So... I'm not 100% sure.
This is just a bored scientist. Well, he's like, you know what? I just want a medal. I need something to do. I want that Nobel Prize.
I need a hobby.
I'm gonna try to combine the spirit world and the physical world.
Around some kids. So he decides to build an orphanage right on top of the mine portal.
Wow.
And he's like, no one will care that this orphanage, like these kids are being experimented on.
Duh. If you don't have a mom and dad, no one cares.
They don't even know you exist. You're like, I was gonna say
that's awful. We're obviously being very facetious, you guys. I'm being very facetious. Did not mean that in a real way.
So there are some kids that survived. A lot of kids didn't survive the experiment, but a group of 20 kids survived the experiment. Okay, hey. They're out in the world. No one can tell them apart from anybody else. They're called sleepers. They don't even know that they're sleepers.
Okay, this is just getting better and better.
That's the end. That's the end of the text. So, like, that's your general building block.
Wow, that was really easy and fun to hear, easy to absorb, no questions to be asked at all. So far, I can tell this is going to be a really good movie.
All right, so we cut to modern times, and we meet Christian Slater on a plane. And he's having a nightmare / flashback. And it's because, this is a big one, guys, he was one of those orphans at the orphanage.
Oh, all right. Ah, oh, geez. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's a sleeper, maybe. Sleeper?
Maybe.
There were 20 of them. He's one of those 20, it sounds like. And you know what? He was just sleeping on that plane, so.
So a sleeper. I get it. I get your joke. All right. So there's this kid next to him, and the kid's being like, you know, a typical kid. He's just blabbering, blabbering, blabbering. And he's like, my mom tells me I shouldn't be afraid of the dark. And Christian Slater's just like,
being afraid of the dark is what keeps most of us alive.
It's the worst. Come on.
The movie's called Alone in the Dark.
Yeah. So the kid's like, and he's like, no, I don't care what your mom told you. You should absolutely be afraid of the dark. And I originally thought this was his child. That he was, like, the kid was referring to his mom, like, they were divorced or whatever.
That's some rough parenting. That's some brutal parenting.
But no, parenting. It's a random, he's just talking to a random kid on the plane, which is even worse. Like, it's even worse than being straight with him as a parent. It's just a stranger.
Just don't respond to him. Just make his life better and be like, yep, you don't even know him. Yeah, I agree.
So once he lands, his overview, like, his narration starts. And Colin did see, this was the part that he did see.
I did hear the narration.
So what does the narration say?
It's really easy, just like the text at the beginning. He basically is like, I've learned that you shouldn't be afraid of what you can't see when you're sleeping in the dark, and things can kill you that you can't see if they're in the dark. Don't be asleep. Darkness can kill, and I've learned that. So we all have an innate desire to be scared of the dark because it holds things that we can't see that could kill us, but I've learned that things kill us outside the dark. Something like that. Yeah, something
Nail
like
it.
That. If you guys were as confused as that's exactly what it sounds like. And we're like, okay. Mm-hmm. No, but he does make one clear statement. He says,
just because you can't see something doesn't mean it can't kill you.
And I'm like, no, Christian, we have cancer. We have disease. We have heart attacks. You can't see a heart attack, Buster. Guess what?
He's like,
you can't see someone shooting you from behind, Buster. There's a lot we can't see that can kill us.
He's like, there are some people who don't have an innate fear of the dark, but I know better. I teach them to be afraid of the dark. And I'm like, if they're not afraid, just let them be.
Just let them not be afraid.
Just let them be.
Because if something's in the dark that's worth being afraid of, they're not going to be afraid of it.
And
therefore,
if it kills
helping
them. At least they weren't afraid of it. Like, they didn't
but
live in
you don't
fear.
Get it. It'll kill them because they can't see it. So I'm teaching them to be able to see in the dark what they can't see that can kill them.
Okay. Now the logic makes sense. You're teaching them to be afraid of the dark because they can't see what's going to kill them. But you want to teach them to see. I get it. Okay. You know what? Let's just continue on to the story.
Oh, my God. This movie is so stupid. All right. So he lands from his plane, hops in a taxi, realizes soon thereafter that he's being followed by someone. Mm-hmm. And this extends into, I'm not even kidding, like a 10 to 12 minute scene that goes from a taxi car chase to a street chase to a street fight.
Well, why is someone following him? Do they explain?
Later, yes, but at this moment, you don't know. But he must Christian be somebody Slater important. Is not just a regular dude. He's like a very skilled street fighter. So he engages in hand-to-hand combat for, like mm-hmm. I said, about 10 minutes, stabs the guy, shoots the guy. In the street, not a person stops, not a police is called.
As per usual.
Eventually, he throws a guy over a balcony, and the guy dies. And he just...
But
he just walks home.
See that one coming.
He's like, you saw me and you were afraid of me and I killed you because you saw me.
I'm Christian Slater, bitch.
And that's what cracked me up. The scene is terribly long. It really doesn't serve any purpose other than to someone's chasing him. But then he just walks home. No, there's a guy dead in the streets. And then he just walks straight home.
He's tired. He just had a long flight where he had a terrible nightmare and talked to this weird kid.
But also he goes straight to his apartment. And so I'm like, okay, so you're in your home city. Why were they chasing you? Yeah. Why wouldn't they just show up at your house? Why are they chasing you in this taxi cab home? He just walks straight home and he lives in
just
this very
in
gigantic.
Life. Just another day in the life. Who hasn't had that happen to him?
What can you say?
I had that happen to me yesterday when I got back from Scotland. Got in a fight, 10 hours, fight. Killed someone, walked home, had a quesadilla.
So he lives, just for context, he lives in this giant loft that's like really...
Everyone lives in a fucking loft. When's the last time you met someone who lives in a loft? I live in San Francisco. No one ever lived in lofts. Why in movies does everyone live in a loft? An exposed
brick
loft.
In Glitter, they lived in a loft too, remember?
Yes, everyone lives in exposed brick lofts, like industrial lofts. Where do you find these lofts? I want to have one. Anyway,
tell me
sorry.
More.
I'm just angry.
Yeah, so it's just kind of this interesting mixture of like part museum, part loft. And we find out that his official job title is paranormal investigator.
Oh, wow. Wowee. Okay.
Okay, so now we're shifting to meet another very important character that I know we are all dying to hear about, Miss Tara Reid.
Tara Reid, the icon, the one, the only Tara Reid.
Love her.
Of American Pie fame, if you don't know. And now Sharknado fame.
Just to specify. She is the assistant curator at a museum. And her name is Aileen, but we will be referring to her as Tara Reid because that's the only way to refer
you
to
can't,
her.
You cannot call Tara Reid, not Tara Reid. That lovable
and even
drunk.
Though, even though this sounds like a completely superfluous fact, it's very important for you to know that she is the assistant curator of the museum because the official curator of the museum.
She's too busy out partying to be the official.
She's like, I can only do this part-time.
She's like, I've got to go round up tornadoes with sharks in it. Like, I don't have time to do all this full-time. I've got to be the assistant. I've got to go to premieres with my Nipping now. Like, I don't have time to be the official curator. I'm definitely your assistant.
Yes. Priorities are straight.
Assistant museum curator by day. Freak at night. I don't know. I was trying to do that rhyme.
Like, at night.
Anyway, continue.
Oh, like a
freak
in
the streets, lady on the streets. Yeah. Whatever. You get it. I'm bad at those.
We'll think of something.
Lady in the sheets, freak on the streets. Totally opposite. I'm like wild at parties and just give off this totally sexual energy. And then I go home with someone and just sleep. Sleep and get into full pajamas, full neck pajamas.
Just gonna say, put a nightie.
Full nightie and just calmly go to sleep.
Long johns,
excuse me,
one piece
I am
of long
freak.
Johns.
I am a freak on the streets, and I'm a lady in the sheets. If you would like to consummate, please cut a hole.
I was just gonna say, cut a hole in the sheet. We will proceed. Okay, so she's a lady at the museum, and the curator that she works under is Lionel Hudgens. Mm-hmm. And that's important for you to know.
No relation to Vanessa.
You don't know.
Actually, I don't know. I don't know.
You didn't do 23andMe. You don't know. So it's important to know that, like I said, because he plays a very big role. So they're getting new shipments because they're getting ready to put on an exhibit. And she has a box that she has to open. And this is what's important, you guys. It's an Opgani relic.
Stop. Okay. It's one of those damn puzzle pieces. I know it. Mm-hmm. It's one of those five Afghani puzzle pieces.
She doesn't know it yet, though.
Because she's the assistant. She didn't read that.
Listen, there's only so much information you get as an assistant. There's only so much. The puzzle pieces of the underworld are not one of them.
Good for her for at least knowing it's Upcani, though.
And the other thing that's important is that Hudgens, the reason he's not there to open it himself, is that he's on a boat in the middle of the ocean because he's found another incredibly important puzzle piece the Abgani made called the Arbus.
I have a couple questions, okay? Okay. So the Abgani, they are Native American who usually pass down stories, are, you know, their belief through stories. They're not really a written people necessarily. How does Dr. Hudgens know where these five puzzle pieces are? Because did they write a map? Did they leave some kind of cave painting to point to all the different places in the world that they left them? And if so, did they leave the exact coordinates of the middle of the ocean where they left that one tiny little Abgani piece?
And how did they get to the middle of the ocean?
You know what? They did experiment with that spirit world, and they probably got one of those little spirits, one of the good ones. And they're like, hey, bud, before the teams get released, can you do us a favor? This was a terrible mishap, and we don't want this to happen again. Can you please go spread these out for us?
Just go.
This little Casper, this little Devin Sawa Casper's like,
that's
okay.
Exactly what I was picturing.
He's struggling.
Exactly.
He's trying to carry the little.
This giant gold case.
I was just living my best spirit life, and he's fucking up gone. He's hovering over the ocean.
I didn't ask him out of this portal.
He's the saddest the whole time, struggling, holding it to get it to the middle of the ocean. I'm a spirit, goddammit. This is really hard.
I am not a physical being. Why am I dragging this physical object?
I cannot do this. I do not want to do this anymore. You know what? They had their ways. I'm asking too many questions.
Really? You really are.
Museum curators always know where to get artifacts. Doesn't matter. If there's a map, word of mouth,
don't,
doesn't matter.
Just assume that if someone's a curator, they pretty much know most of the secrets, or just of the world in general.
Okay, good.
All right, so we cut over to Lionel Hudgens getting this Arbus out of the ocean, right? And it's also kind of in a crate thing, and they open it, and it's pure gold. It's kind of like a box made of pure gold.
Like the Ark of the Covenant status.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Indiana Jones.
That would be very heavy for that. Very heavy for that spirit.
For that Casper.
Now I feel even worse for that Devin Sawa Casper bitch.
Me too. All right, so the Arbus is pure gold, and there's the guy with Dr. Hudgens, and he is so stoked. He is rubbing this gold box so seductively, and he's
it's
being
a gold
very,
box.
Very sexual with
box?
It. Gold box.
You're rubbing that gold box. Sorry,
that's
that
my nickname.
Bad joke. Mine's the bronze box. Mine's the copper box.
Tin can box.
Mine's a tin can box. Kind of patinaed. Keep going. Rusty box. It's my high school nickname.
Rusty box.
Don't touch it. You might get lockjaw. That's your pickup line to people. Touch my rusty box and you might get your jaws locked on it.
Do I become a southern man when this happens?
Oh, you do. Because that's what old rusty box does when she's in her mode.
And that's when he knows about to get real sexual when Rusty Box.
Keep going. So
okay. So he's like, well, if the gold is all over, it's made of gold. Imagine how much gold is inside. And Hudgens is like, I wouldn't open that if I were you. But it doesn't matter because they take Hudgens prisoner and they open the gold box. And you guys, what happens when you open,
let me guess,
old gold Abgani boxes?
I made a reference to this earlier from Indiana Jones. We got some Ark of the Covenant action going on. People's faces melt off. I'm going to guess everyone dies.
Everyone on the boat dies.
Including Mr. Hudge?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, shit. All right.
Yeah.
Tara Reid's going to be so sad. She's going to have to open all those boxes by herself. Now she's going to have to be
I'm
full-time curator.
When am I going to have time to party?
I'm just never going to have time to do it all in one day. Do we learn the bad guy's name?
No.
So he's just
because
a mysterious bad guy. Oh, he dies too?
Yes, everybody dies.
Oh, so that's what he said by everybody. I thought he had some kind of idea what happened when he opened the box. I thought he put some kind of protective sunglasses on and was like, I am getting away with this. No, everyone just dies. Okay, cool. Way to start a movie.
His goal was to get the gold both outside that's on the box and the inside of the box. So he opens it thinking it's treasure, doesn't realize it's cursed Opkani, right? Because he's not an archaeologist. He doesn't know. He's not a curator of a museum.
Yeah, duh.
So he unknowingly, you know, invites his own death. So it was a real bummer. It's a big bloody bloodbath. So at this same time, because now we've got the Opkani treasure that Tara Reid has opened, and we've got the Opkani box that just got opened on the boat, all of these powers are starting to come together.
They killed everybody on the boat, so I'm guessing this Opkani is just going to sink back right to the bottom if no one's steering that boat.
Okay, you're really overthinking this, because there's a lot, there's more
stuff. The Opkani just knows where to go. It's like, L.A., please.
Casper has to steer the boat. He's like, ah, I thought I was done with this.
He gets sucked back up from the spirit world. He's like, God damn it.
I don't want to be a boat captain. Just stop.
I just want to be a spirit in my spirit world that parallels the physical world.
So back on the land, we see all these people just randomly stopping whatever they're doing mid-task, and their minds just like going blank. And they just all leave what they're doing, no matter what it is. We find out that these are the sleepers.
Oh, geez.
So because these Opkani treasures have been opened and the portal's getting closer and closer, essentially, it's activating the part of them that's zombie. And so there's 20
and they're zombie
of them,
from the spirits that got released from the cave that the mad scientist built the orphanage off of, right?
Right.
Just to keep up. Okay.
Right.
Okay, so it's kind of like a homing beacon, and these five pieces of Opkani
that's
gold,
a good way to describe
the
it.
Two of them that have been found are powering that beacon, we could say.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Activating all the zombie kids, correct. The 20 orphans that just mysteriously went missing.
But we've still got three Opkani puzzle pieces to find.
Yes. I don't know. I don't actually know how many there are total. I don't think they ever say that.
You said at the beginning five.
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe I just grasped that out of thin air because they never, like, count them down.
Maybe I thought you said five because I was trying to make sense of what the fuck you were talking about.
You just assigned it meaning. I get it. It's fine. So at this same time, because things are getting weird.
Just now getting weird.
We meet Commander Richard Burke. And he has a very important job. Not as important as curator of the museum, because nothing's as important as that. He is the commander of the Department for Paranormal Activity. It's a government agency. Look it up.
Oh, yeah. I've seen lots of shows about that. Everyone knows there's a secret government paranormal agency.
The 713.
The 713. Is that like what cops call on their radios? We got a 713. Is that like a paranormal call? Like, what makes it 713?
That's the code. There's no explanation. You are expecting way too much from this movie.
You know what? I'm not an official paranormal investigator government employee. I don't know.
You don't know. So they're starting to get readings that are, as they say, literally so high, the chart can't even chart it. It's just completely.
I'd be really, really, really worried if I worked in an organization where my boss is like, you know what? Chart so high. Can't even be charted. The most unofficial. I'm like, where did you go to school? Who hired you? I could say that. I could be hired as that person. You know what?
But
this is, in other words, off the charts. This is how do
but
I say
this? Where
would
you go to school to be the director of the 713? What kind of background do you need, educationally speaking?
I have a background in digging mines. I have a background in super hot houses. I have a background in scary movies. I have an apartment in graveyards and Halloween.
They're like, hired.
Do you know about charts? Do you know about charts and what constitutes off the chart?
I can use some work on charts, but I think I'm a fast learner. It's gonna be okay.
I can tell you what's on the chart. Can't say anything when it comes off. But I can tell you it's out of chart range.
I can look at the chart. I can read the chart. Cannot process information. It's fine.
The president's like, you're hired. You're hired.
You're like,
the 713.
You know what? Charts at like the bottom of the priorities. So it's like on the job skill. You're going to learn. Don't worry about it.
Ooh, okay.
So at this point, Christian Slater, because he's a paranormal investigator, he's getting the gist that something's definitely coming, right? Like he can sense that the Opkani powers
are
opening up.
Well, he's also a sleeper, possibly.
Right, because it's the 20 orphans, right? And he was one of them.
So he, does he stop? Definitely, does he leave his...
But he doesn't... No,
he,
that's
he doesn't
the thing.
Leave his loft, his museum loft?
He doesn't get zombified. So oh. they're all completely, like, their brains turned off and they're zoned out. He's not. And so
I have
he
a feeling
can
something
feel
special
something.
About this Christian Slater. This Buster.
I mean, he is Christian Slater. I think that's special enough. But he walks into the museum, into the room where Tara Reid is in her office, where it says assistant.
Wait, how does he know? Curator. Do they know each other?
I'm about to tell you how.
Okay.
He walks in. She's like, oh my God, I'm so happy to see you. She gives him a giant hug and then she slaps him.
It's her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm,
yep.
Of course, Tara Reid is not going to be single. She's not going to be a single party girl. That's why she got assistant curator, because she had a boyfriend and put her head to work.
Exactly.
Stop the party.
So she slaps him because she's like, how dare you not tell me where you were? I thought you were dead, because I guess he was gone for 6 weeks on some kind of paranormal adventure and just didn't give her any contact.
That's what you do. That's the paranormal world, baby. You just don't have time to give your loved ones any idea where you're going. It's off the charts.
He was off the charts. What can I say?
That makes no sense. He's urgently called to a paranormal mission. He's like, can't tell his fucking girlfriend that he lives with that. Well, no, I just assume that they live together. But he just can't tell her, like, hey, I got a mission. Nope, you got to get out quick. No communication. Don't want the paranormals to track you down.
I was just going to say to the ghosts, they, like, follow you. They pinpoint and listen in on all your conversations.
But in that case, he should have told her prior, like, hey, babe, I'm a paranormal investigator. Right. Ghosts can track everything I do. So if I get called to a secret mission, I'm not dead. I just have to ghost you, no pun intended, for a little bit. Like, he should have communicated that. That's a healthy relationship, you guys, if you're curious. That's
here, I don't think maybe you're understanding, like, what a bad boy Christian Slater is. Like, well, he
Christian
wears
Slater,
tank
so
tops.
I think I do.
He wears
it's
tank
Christian
tops Slater. And leather jackets. He's got a tattoo on his arm. Of so he is, like, a very edgy paranormal investigator. He doesn't play by anybody's rules.
He'll punch a damn ghost. He'll ghost ride that whip.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts. So she's mad at him, but she loves him, so it doesn't matter. And they're starting to put...
let's take a pause. Just one more.
Okay.
If your loved one, your partner, forever long you were with, just disappeared for 5 months and didn't tell you where they were going, I would be like, get the fuck out. I moved on.
It was 6 weeks.
Oh, I thought you said, why am I thinking, what's five? Why
don't
do I keep,
know.
I keep thinking 5 months, five relics, five puzzle pieces. Okay. But still, regardless, 6 weeks is still a long time.
It is a very long time. I would be like, we need to have a discussion about maybe ways to communicate better and then we can move forward. But this is actually just not working as it is.
Plus, I'm married and I'm pregnant. 6 weeks is a long time, Buster, for me. 6 weeks, met someone, pregnant, have a home. Anyway,
so
go on.
They're working together because she's got the brains of the assistant curator going for her. He's got the brains of being a paranormal investigator going for him. So they're kind of working together to solve this mystery. Like, what is going on with all these weird Abkhani artifacts that are popping up everywhere? And they have this very cool computer in their loft museum where it's like a scanner that looks like one of the grocery store things that you scan your groceries with for the price. Mm-hmm. And she's scanning the artifact. And I'm like, that thing doesn't exist. And why if you scanned an artifact nobody's seen in hundreds of years, would the computer even know, have any reference to tell you what it was? Because there's no reference for it. No one's even laid eyes on it.
You're not a curator. You're not an assistant museum curator.
I guess that's a really cool thing that assistant curators can do. They can scan anything and know what it is. Anything.
It's fine. The spirits. They're telling it what it is.
It's fine. It's fine.
The
so she's
like,
the
I'm
one
the Bacani.
Who started sort of starting to put it together. And she's like, well, if you had all these puzzle pieces that fit together, then why on earth would you scatter them all over the world? So they're starting to see that maybe there's a reason why nobody should
is
be
Is she putting
with
it together or did the computer put it together? Did she scan it and the computer's like, this is one of five of Connie things, puzzle pieces, if you will, that were scattered across the world. And she's like, something is clicking for me. All right. So she's got it. Let's hear what happens next. I'm excited. I'm actually kind of invested. This is kind of fun. I'm actually kind of curious, but see what happens.
So on the edge of your seat?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sitting on the floor. You can clearly see.
The edge of your metaphorical seat.
We also just had to take a break, side note everyone, because my cat keeps pooping in my bathtub. I cannot figure out why.
Yeah, we did have to take a little breather.
You said edge of your seat, and then I thought toilet seat. Then I was like, you know what? Let's tell the audience that my cat
you just got cat poop on the brain.
Yes, cat poop
no,
on
it
brain.
Was you. You're like, can't talk long, I gotta poo.
I totally moosed it. Gotta poop. Can't talk long, gotta poop. Yeah, my cat just keeps pooping in our bathtub, and I don't know why, because he has
get it together,
feelers.
Gus.
He's a 22-pound cat. He's huge. Cadence has seen him. He's a little, basically
well,
a tiger.
Sometimes, because he's always hiding.
He's hiding because he's very
sometimes
stressed.
Sometimes I've seen him.
Sometimes I've seen him. But yeah, he has a perfectly clean litter box, nothing. But every once in a while, he just lays a fat turd in our bathtub, and it stinks, guys.
He's
it
like,
stinks.
You're welcome. You're
it's
welcome.
Like a truck stop bathtub. I meant bathroom.
I want to know who's taking those sweet, sweet truck stop baths.
Well, you don't see the truck stop bathrooms and go and take a bath?
I mean, I just love like one trucker hopping in after the other.
Get in there, get clean, get going, don't poop in the bathtub, three simple rules. All right.
No UTIs, nothing. Just get in, get out. Oh, gross. Gross.
All right, so I'm on the edge of my seat. And I want to know what happens next.
All right. So we cut to the museum and there's a security guard wandering the halls. And you might be thinking, why are you talking about a security guard? Is this even important? But it is because he's in the dark museum alone.
Oh, mm-hmm. There's the title of the movie. Now it's coming together.
And all of a sudden he's attacked by a zombie dog. And so... It's also important to know that there's no rhyme or reason about, okay, I call them zombie dogs. They're like the creatures from the underworld.
The demons that came from the cave on top
right.
of the...
Right, but then the zombie people, they don't transform into zombie dogs. They are like a kind of a hybrid, but the zombie dogs are very deadly. The people really aren't. They just get stabbed or punched and they're done. There's nothing... Nothing
you
supernatural about their powers.
Those demon spirits were getting ahead of themselves. They should let the zombie dogs do the work. They were like, you know what? Those dogs can do it. We can do it. Nope.
Nope.
Punch, stab, boom, dead. So are they zombies or spirits? Are they humans that have turned into undead? Or are they demons
the
from
the zombie
this
dogs
portal?
Are separate. Like, they're something that okay. came out of the underworld that's like a completely separate creature.
Another layer to this fantastic onion.
When they are trying to breed... The orphans. I'm wondering if their idea was
breed the orphans.
Like, because they put like parts of the zombie dogs into the kids in order to like make them a hybrid.
So that's what he meant by trying to combine the spirit world with
yes.
the physical world. He was trying
yes.
to combine demons with children, not spirits.
Zombie dogs.
That is another layer Whatever. That you should have told us in the beginning.
I thought
that is something you should have clarified.
You don't
beginning.
See them until this moment, though. You
okay.
don't see the zombie dog until he kills the guard, and then you're like, well, where the hell did that come from? It's not explicitly stated whatsoever.
Where is Tara Reid's computer scanner when you need it?
I know.
Okay,
we really
so
need
security
Wikipedia
guard gets killed
article.
By a zombie dog that may mm-hmm. be a demon spirit, but not an undead dog.
Right. So the reason why this is important is because obviously these creatures are coming out of the portal, like the powers are getting stronger, this underworld or whatever is becoming more
that creepo opened
physical.
That gold case and that gold mm-hmm. case was just the beacon to let these zombie mm-hmm. demon dogs come out.
And don't forget Tara Reid opened the Obkani thing that came to the museum.
Well, she's an assistant to the curator. She had to. It's not her fault. Please don't blame her.
I would never blame her. Never, ever, ever. I'm just saying that the powers are getting stronger. So because this has happened, the 713 has to be called in.
Oh, geez.
That's
the government
why it's
organization?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So 713's
who you
gonna
call?
On the...
713. Government organization secret. It's like a much more strict Ghostbusters.
They're like, we're here to do some readings. I don't know if you heard, but the charts just ain't gotten it.
We've been really cut on our funding. I don't know if you guys know, we're going through a recession right now, and the paranormal unit at the government has been budget cuts like crazy. We had to let go of Larry. He's been here 22 years. He's practically a ghost himself.
So they are doing kind of reconnaissance over the whole thing. They're looking through the museum. This is where we meet Commander Richard Burke, who ends up becoming a main character, played by Stephen Dorff.
Is he the commander of the 713?
He is the commander, so he's Commander Richard Burke.
So he should have technically been on top of this.
Mm-hmm, right. You would think he'd be like, well, we're monitoring the situation, so if anything gets crazy, like, we know. You would think that they have some sort of special equipment that they're like, you know what? Feels like the portal's opening up. I can sense that. Let's be aware. No, they don't. They come in after the fact. It's like, anyway.
Classic government organization, am I right?
Bureaucracy. So they show up at the museum, and at that same time, Tara Reid and Christian Slater also show up to the museum. And this is where you learn a very important fact. Christian Slater used to be a member of the 713.
This guy, his life, an orphan, tested on, possibly a sleeper, but not really a sleeper because he wasn't affected. 713 member turned rogue paranormal investigator slash ninja expert because he really did some classic Mortal Kombat moves on that guy.
He literally did a backflip from the ground and kicked the treasure box out of the bad guy's hand. It was a full-on Jennifer Lopez using her butt muscles. Or not Jennifer Lopez, John Voight using his butt muscles to project himself up. It was like that. Anyway, so he was a member of the 713. And so things between Commander Richard Burke and Christian Slater aren't great. Because Richard Burke is like, I cannot believe you left us. Like, they left on bad terms. He felt betrayed by him. So it kind of sets up, they have like a little bit of a rivalry. And
I'm getting the impression that Christian Slater just leaves everybody. Left Tara Reid, left the 713. He's just got that paranormal business that just takes over, takes precedence.
Listen, someone's got to do it. It's not going to be me. So by all means, Christian Slater, you do your thing. C-Slate. We just gave him that nickname. C-Slate. So at this, they realize that they all got to kind of go their separate ways. Christian Slater, I really am going to put this audio in because it made me laugh so hard. So they're all outside the museum. The 713 has gone in to sweep the museum. Christian Slater and Tara Reid, they're supposed to be boyfriend, girlfriend, but that their chemistry is non-existent. And so they have this dialogue. Richard Burke leaves them behind. He's like, I got to go do 713 business, take care of the museum. Tara Reid goes,
I need to study those artifacts.
All right. So I'm going to go figure out what's going on with John and the others. We'll hook up later.
And then they shake hands and part ways.
Well, I know
like
how that
loving,
goes.
Like a loving couple
I
does.
I know how that goes. I mean, my partner's German. I get it. A firm handshake is always
he's definitely the most not a freak
sign.
In the sheets.
He's definitely never, not. Only when it's planned.
He's a lady in the streets and a lady in the sheets.
Yes, lady all around.
So she goes to Richard Burke. She's like, I got to get back in the museum, my friend. And he goes, no, you don't. We've got the whole thing covered. And she's like, I got to get my stuff. He says, okay, you got me there. Go get your stuff. Let stuff? Me know if you see anything, though.
I love it.
She's going to go back in there and see a zombie dog and just not mention it on the way out.
Hey, I was picking up my checkbook that I left at my desk, and I saw this, like, mutated demon thing. Is that important? Did you know that was in there? Is that what you meant when you said, let me know if you see anything? You tricked me. I've got a party to go to. Like,
otherwise, why is she covering for them? No, I didn't see anything. I didn't see any demon dogs wandering around.
She, like, winks at the demon dog. Gotcha, bud. Meet me at 620 like, Pecos for a
the
party.
The dog is finger gunning. He's like, I was never here. You didn't see me.
I feel you, bud. I don't know it. So stupid. Okay.
All right. So this is where it gets important. I'm mentioning this. It serves a purpose.
It wasn't important till now? Okay.
Beyond it just being ridiculous that she wouldn't tell him if there was a zombie dog. In her office, guess who comes out of the dark corner? It's Lionel Hudgens.
The dead guy that opened the Ark of the Covenant on the boat?
Yes.
Oh, she's probably like, hey, I wasn't going to take your job, I promise. I wasn't coming to move my stuff in here, I promise.
She's like crossing out the assistant on her name placard.
She's like scraping off on the front door, assistant. He's like, what you doing, Tara? Oh, shit.
Nothing. Nothing. I was just
She runs kidding. Out and tells the head of the 713, I saw the craziest thing come out of the dark. He's a zombie. He's a monster. Go kill him.
It is Lionel Hudgens. And you're supposed to infer, as an audience member, that he is a zombie. Because he was clearly killed. But there's something now that's inhabiting his body. And
oh, okay. Zombie.
Okay,
right
so...
Now.
He comes out of the corner, and my main thought is, If we're thinking of the literal timeline of this movie, that afternoon, she spoke to him on the phone, and he was on a boat in the middle of the ocean. And like 5 hours later, he's coming out of the dark in the office.
You don't know how zombies work. You don't know the
that would be my work. First question. Well, no, but because she thinks he's human, she doesn't know he's possessed.
Oh, she's like,
so
hey,
like how?
I know. Where exactly were you?
How would you get there that fast? So anyway, we also, it's important to remember that the 713 is a secret government agency, right? For paranormal. Mm-hmm. Also, spies are involved in this agency.
Mm-hmm. You've got a spy for the
because,
government on the mm-hmm. side of ghosts?
Lionel Hudgens was the most powerful 713 science spy they had.
So he was a science spy / head of curator of a museum. How does he do
After he retired
how does he do it
from
all?
Spy science.
Wow, I admire this
He went into curation.
Oh, so he wasn't like actively a museum curator and a science spy.
No, yeah, he did science spying, then in his later years became a curator.
They're just letting anyone into this 713 business. Just seems like everybody at this point just has been part of it at one point, hired all the 20
That's
orphans
part
probably
of this,
are part
is like
of it.
You just slowly find out that almost every single person is somehow associated with the 713. And so, I don't know, maybe there's a purpose, maybe there's not. Back at 713 headquarters, this is completely superfluous, but this was my absolute favorite part of the entire movie. They're doing a bunch of work on computers. It's like one of those scenes where it's like the think tank and everybody's on a computer in a room with a long table and they're all typing.
And in the background, there's a chart that's just off the walls.
Yes, off the charts.
Off the charts. Yep, I know.
They're like, we don't even know why that's in there anymore. There's this guy named Antonio. And yes, he has a name. This is his only line. This is his only scene. This is the only time he's in the movie. But his name is Antonio.
Let's hear it.
And a random 713 guy goes, Antonio, did you get the list of all the reported activity in 1999 for me? And Antonio goes,
look, there's possible, then there's impossible. The damn data just doesn't exist. No data means no lists. And leave me alone.
Antonio, I like your style. I gotta poop. Leave me alone. I gotta poop.
I mean, you can just hear it in his voice. He's sassy. He's got zero time. And I
also, this is 2005. Why did the guy ask him 6 years later?
1999.
Antonio should have been like, dude, you should have followed up with me on that in 1999. It's 2005, son.
That stuff's been filed away. It's really
I don't even remember what the fuck you're talking about. Leave me alone. Gotta poop.
It's such a good scene, and I'm just super curious about why it's even in there, because the list is not a thing.
It's clearly
no
the show.
No information comes
it's
from it.
The show that the 713 is totally chaos at this point. It just goes to show that 713 is really struggling from those budget cuts.
Literally no exposition happens.
Does Antonio have like really long fingernails as he's typing away? And he's got like a headset on.
He has long wavy hair, like shoulder length wavy hair.
And
but he
bangs,
does
and he's
do
just like that's been stuck away.
He does this like thing where he goes like with his fingers, he's like, there's no information, so there's no list.
So stop bugging me. This is stupid, okay?
And that's it. So no part of the story unfolds in this scene. Nothing.
No part
a
of the story has unfolded in
not...
any of these scenes. I hate to break it to you, but no part of the story has unfolded in any of these scenes.
This is almost actively regressive to the story because there's no list. It's a list that would have been from 6 years ago. Antonio has not compiled it. Get and in. He's like, leave me alone.
You just need, it's to show the inner workings of the 713. It's a busy place. It's chaotic. Lots of investigation on the paranormal going on. And it's chaotic. Come on. That's what it's there to make that known to the audience.
Oh my God. I just can't. If you don't watch any other part of this movie, you just have to watch that scene because it's so good. All right. Moving on.
Okay, wait. I do have a question, though.
Okay.
We didn't follow through with this because we kind of went on side notes like we tend to do. What happened between Lionel, the zombie that Tara Reid doesn't know is a zombie, and thinks is her boss that came back from the middle of the ocean in 5 hours that night while she's collecting her checkbook before a party? Who shows up in the
nothing.
Dark?
She's alone in the dark. Nothing really. He just he's like, hey, remember how we talked on the phone when I was on the boat and I was like really unhappy and I was kind of a jerk? Don't worry about that. I was seasick. It's just a thing. She's like, no, don't worry about it. It's fine. So he's trying to play nice because he's obviously a zombie in Lionel Hudgens' body.
He's and a so manipulative little zombie, little sneaker. He's causing all the drama.
Hey, he's girl. Like, did you hear that? CS called you fat.
Hey, girl. I heard that you're going to be made the new curator of the museum, but guess what? You're not. Pam told me.
I heard this, but
zombies often are very sneaky and manipulative.
That's also they play the long game.
I'd be like, hey, she doesn't question how he got back from the ocean. She doesn't question anything.
She's not like,
and she
hey,
also doesn't question like, why in your my office in the dark in a corner?
Yeah.
Being real nice to me.
The 7th team has taken over the entire museum. And somehow he got past their perimeter.
Because he's a science spy. He spied them.
That's true.
He's a double-crossing zombie sassy spy drama shitster, okay?
That's exactly right. He's like, if anyone knows how to get through the 713's perimeter, it's me.
It's me.
I was a science spy.
Hey guys, I heard this juicy gossip that you guys don't even know how to hold down a museum. To prove it to me, let's see if I can get through.
It's a test.
I'm going to sneak up to my assistant's office, hide in the dark. Let's see what happens. That's why they were like, let us know if you see anything. It's all a big ruse. It's all coming together. This movie has a lot of layers.
It really does. So that's pretty much it. You're basically getting the idea that this zombie is going to ruin things and take everybody down from the inside because he's a loving...
Are you getting that?
Or loved... Well, you're supposed to. He's a loved and respected hero among the 713. And so, of course, they're going to trust Hudgens. Of course, it's the perfect body for a zombie to overtake. Of course. There's one other dude that I'm just going to mention now named Fisher, who also gets overtaken by a zombie and works with the 713. And he's also important. So now you have two important leaders
in
the 713.
I'm just going to assume that everybody in the fucking state of California works for the 713 at this point. Has or currently does or will. Work for 713.
Or at least part-time.
Oh, obviously Antonio. He's a temp worker.
He got assigned pro staffing. They're like, I don't know. It's like some place called the 713.
Just go. Compile a list if they ask you. If they don't, just don't. Tell them what's impossible and tell them what's possible.
Gotta keep their expectations in check.
Here, and bring this chart. Doesn't really work for Elf. Doesn't work? Tell them it's off the charts. All right.
Okay.
So let's get back to the story. So all is coming to a close, I'm guessing. Or not a close, a climax.
Yes.
Like it does at those truck stop bathrooms. what's happening? What does this sassy zombie do?
Okay. So back at the apartment museum loft situation. Mm-hmm. These zombies start breaking in. And these are the kids. These are the, or well, now they're adults, but the orphans, the sleepers, are breaking in.
Because they're now being zombies.
Right, because their zombie gene has been activated by opening all of the secret treasures.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
Mm-hmm. Which means the zombie gene is just them stirring drama. They all get together, pour some tea, and they're like, girl, guess what? Guess what Hudgens said about you on that boat, girl? Christian, we all hated you when we were orphans because you were a fat bitch.
That's exactly how it ends.
The weirdest spin on zombies ever.
That would be such a funny movie. Just absolute mean girl zombies that just become the worst clique.
They don't eat your brain. They just invade your house and tell you all the worst gossip about you.
Oh my God, that's funny. So they start invading Christian Slater and Terry Reed's loft apartment museum. And I don't get why. It doesn't ever explain why. They're trying to kill Christian Slater. There's a huge battle out of nowhere in the middle of these 20 zombies coming into the loft. The freaking
19.
The 713 arrives, busting through the windows with their machine guns. They literally just start firing their AK-47s in every given direction. Mm-hmm. Again, the zombies die because there are no powers to being a zombie. The same exact rules apply to your body. So they get shot and they die. Christian Slater's like,
will one of you tell me what the hell's going on here?
We picked up massive readings.
That's not what I asked. What the hell's going on here?
I am with Christian Slater at this point. I honestly have no fucking clue what's happening. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And you would think he would know what the hell is going on because he's the paranormal investigator, but that's
he's also one of those 20 fucking orphans that got experimented on. I'm still confused why he's not zombified.
Yeah, he's...
I hope you're going to tell me why. I don't think you are, though, because you look very confused as well.
It's not that
you're mulling over what you're like, well, you're getting real freshwater, real Sheriff Brenda freshwater. Well, here's the thing. If you're zombie and demon, but you're not clothed, if you hide, then you're not dog. You grow up, you're 7'13". You're not a zombie. You're not Tesla. You run away. He's not not orphan.
It's because I'm trying to make this, if it's at all possible, not overly complicated, but I don't know how that is even realistic.
No one's listening at this point. No one's listening to this podcast at this moment. They've all turned it off because this makes no sense.
So let me just tell you, without any context or without any explanation, the 713 has a special device that scans people. And
similar to Tara Reid's special device. And let me guess, Tara Reid is a part of the 713. She's the head of the 713, and she's been a scientist.
She's like, I'm not an assistant yet.
At this point, I wouldn't fucking put it past it. I would not bat an eye if you told me that Tara Reid was exposed as the head of the 713.
The 713, I'm in charge.
Hey, Hudgens, you're the assistant now, bitch. You quit the 713 and now I'm in charge. And Antonio, find that fucking data. I don't give a shit if it was 1999. Compile that data, Antonio. And Antonio was like, okay, girl. Oh, she's serious.
Oh, my God. So this scanner has scanned Christian Slater and he's come back part zombie.
Now, when you say zombie, though, in the movie, do they say zombie? What do they say?
No, they don't really have a name for it. They just know that it's coming up on the scanner. And they're like, okay, well.
Unidentified SAS level 40? We think he's been exposed.
We'd put it on a chart if we understood how charts worked, but we don't. So.
We just keep scanning him and the chart says we're off the charts. We gotta get this to Antonio.
So after the battle, Commander Burke tries to take Christian Slater into custody, like arrest him, because his scanner has come back positive.
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Christian Slater's like, listen, I trust the scanner just as much as you do. I used it, bro. I get it. But I just helped you fight all of these zombies, so I'm clearly not one of them. Can you please just trust me? And he's like, you're right. I do trust you. Come with me. We got to be somewhere. Immediately. I'm not kidding you.
Well, that took a turn.
Immediately.
Doesn't take much to convince the head of the 713.
Nope. So immediately we are transferred to a helicopter. This is just a flawless execution of like a blatant exposition in dialogue being just completely obvious. So they're flying in this helicopter and it's like the chopper sound and it sounds like they're on the radio.
We know,
but it's not showing their faces.
Oh,
it's just showing their helicopter hovering in the air, and then this conversation takes place over the headpieces.
So where are we going, Burke? To the Britannia gold mine. Britannia mine, I grew up in that area. Why are we going there? They shut it down 22 years ago after 6 miners were killed in an unexplained accident. Did 713 investigate? The report concluded there was no paranormal activity. But get this. The agents in charge of the investigation were Dr. Lionel Hudgens and James Pinkerton.
It's the whole plot of the movie. The whole plot.
Spoken over helicopter thing.
You don't see anybody's faces. You just hear it. But I was like, number one, he's in the helicopter. They are approaching their destination. And he's like, so where are we going? Where are we going, bud?
All of a sudden, an Australian comes in. We have a drowning off the head of Hawaii. And they're like, is this?
Oh, I miss Allie.
Is this Allie?
I wouldn't give for Allie to pop into this story. What I would. She's like,
I'm still moonlighting for Still moonlighting the helicopter pilot?
Yeah, that's her part-time job. She works for the 713.
You guys didn't get that. That's a reference from every season. We love Allie from Baywatch Hawaii. Oh, she moonlighted as a helicopter pilot. Oh, Jesus, I can't talk. Helicopter pilot. Anyway,
so he just hops into this helicopter, doesn't ask how or why until they're approaching their destination.
I mean, were they going to let him go? He's not going to be able to be like, no, I don't want to go with you to this place. Like, they pretty much are holding him hostage, but they're making it sound nice.
Right. So this is where the culmination of the whole movie goes.
It culminates.
It's the end. Some might say culminates. All right. They land the helicopter at the mine. They are setting up for battle because they know it's about to go down. The portal
Pause. Was Christian Slater, was he like, oh, this is making sense. I didn't know my orphanage was built on top of a zombie mine. Did he know?
Not really until this moment, because he's like, well, we're going to the gold mine. It's called Britannia Gold Mine or something like that. And he's like, oh. Because that's what's funny about the exposition. She's like, oh, that's right near where I grew up in the orphanage. And he's like, oh, really? That's also where the doctor did his experiments. And so it's this really weird exchange of really basic information so you don't forget where you're at in the story.
Remember when he hired you and we asked where you were from? We never bothered to tell you that we were on top of this. Like, why didn't he say any of this? Like, I'm getting angry. And I haven't even seen the movie. I'm just listening to the story.
I know.
Keep going.
So they land, and basically they have a feeling that things are about to get crazy because the portal's been almost all the way open. There's still one more door, and they haven't quite figured it out yet, but it's in the mine. I'm just going to tell you. The last door is in the mine. So they have a team up top, and they're all dressed in battle gear, and the lights are out.
Who has a team up top? The 713?
They're in the dark. Yes, the 713. They're like basically dressed for battle. They've got like
I'm just picturing like old Roman battle, like spears and shields.
Well, you know, like they've got like their SWAT vests gear. And helmets and AK-47s, etc.
And these zombie humans, they don't really have anything. There's no real battle to be had. They just slap them and they fall down.
The ratio is very clearly in favor of the humans, but I guess we're supposed to think that there's some other kind of risk. I don't know.
They've already killed the 20 kids who were experimented on. There is no other way the demons are getting through. They have no physical, except for the dogs, which
I guess it's the demon dog. It is essentially the demon dogs that they're fighting now.
Okay, I get it.
So remember when I said Fisher was a guy who was in the 713 who was high up?
Mm-hmm.
Besides Lionel? And the reason I mentioned him is because now Fisher has completely sabotaged the mission because they still think he's regular Fisher. They don't know he's zombie Fisher. So he's cut the power. And so now they're having to face this battle in the dark.
But they're not necessarily alone. They've got each other.
I know. Just work with me here.
This is so ridiculous. This is the most ridiculous plot I have ever heard in my life.
I mean, we've done a lot of ridiculous things, but this is really...
I mean, I'm... Okay, keep going. I want to hear the end.
Okay, so Commander Richard Burke, and Christian Slater and Tara Reid and a couple of other just nameless people, officers, go down into the mine because they have a feeling that the portal is down there somewhere and that's where this is all coming from. There's something that's been unleashed down there.
Get the scanners out, guys. You both have scanners. Get them. Just scan the mine. It'll tell you exactly what it is. Portal to the underworld.
They just don't have a computer to read out the scan.
Right, 2005. Forgot.
There's a lot of Indiana Jones-esque shenanigans that happen, like booby traps, so on and so forth.
You just added a whole other element to the
getting
movie.
Trapped.
I just picture Goonies style, other. Like Tara Reid puts out like a little chomper, like teeth chomper. She's like, I almost fell down this hole.
It's 100% Goonies and Indiana play Jones combined.
Play
that
the
is
skeleton
it.
Keys, play the right notes or the zombie dogs will come out.
I love it. So she holds up after a bunch of things happen, she holds up a flashlight and she goes, look, guys, it's a warning. It says if you're down here, you're already dead.
Then Christian Slater's like, listen, it's their time up there. It's our time down here. It's our time.
Goodies.
We have to find One-Eyed Willy. Or the demon dogs, whatever. Or the portal.
Whichever one comes out, I'm fine. I mean, there is treasure in both of them. So they go deeper and deeper, and they're basically trapped in the mine at this point. There have been, like, giant boulders and rocks that have, like, blocked the way out. And they come to a cinder block wall. And
okay.
They're like, huh, it means someone else has been down here. I don't think we should go past it. And Richard Burke's like, uh-uh, we're blowing this bad boy. And I feel like being in an enclosed space underground where you have limited oxygen, that maybe you wouldn't want to suck all the oxygen out of the air by detonating an explosion. But I don't
know. You don't work for the 713. You don't know.
I don't know. But when they blow it up, guess what's behind it?
I don't want to know. At this point, I don't fucking care.
Oh, you're going to care because it's the underground lab where the experiments took place.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, God. No one mentioned it was underground. How did the scientists fund this? This is a lot of digging. How did he get, like, construction workers, contractors, and just fired everyone every 2 weeks?
Here's why this is the best, okay? Each bed where experiments were conducted have a little metal nameplate on the ends of them. And is each like one dopey, is engraved
dopey, with the kid doc.
They were experimenting on. And that's how Christian Slater finds out he was experimented on, because his name is engraved on one of the beds.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Literally,
it's like Christian Slater. It's engraved. But
why on earth would you engrave their names? Oh, can't use that bed. That's Christian's bed.
You get confused when you're trying to feed demons with kids. You don't remember those little rascals' names. They're orphans. You can't just call them orphan 1, 2, 3, 20. You got to have specific names. Caroline, Cadence, Colin.
I was dying. They are, like, full-on official nameplates, and it's wild. So he's like, oh, my God, I was experimented on too. But why am I not going bad? So he can't quite figure out what's going on.
Excuse me, Christian Slater, the scanner we scanned you earlier, it said you're going kind of bad. You can't read charts. It said you were going halfway bad. We're not sure. So back up.
There's also, at this point, I realized that there are lights on in the lab, and I'm like, didn't Fisher turn all the lights off? Where is the light coming from? Why is this well lit? I don't get it.
Spirit.
The point is, at the back of the lab, there's this really elaborate door, like stone door, and in the middle is where you put the key, which is the one last piece of the treasure that they have.
The treasure being the pieces of the Anaki.
Yes, of the Abkhani.
Abkhani.
So at that point, yes. Christian Slater is like, listen, I'm mostly good. Part demon, mostly good. I think maybe we should just keep this door shut. There's just some stuff we don't want to know about. But right at that moment,
that
zombie.
Sounds mighty demon of you, Slater. If I was Tara Reid, I'd be like, that sounds like something a demon would say. That sounds like something one of the zombie kids would say, Slater. No, I promise. Like, fine, open demon. It. Fine, open it. Fine. I'm cool. I'm cool with it. Do it. I'm cool with it. I'm not a demon kid. I'm cool with it. Open it, Tara. Okay. Just letting you know, Slater. Sounds like something a demon kid would say. No. Go.
I've never felt more relaxed than I do in this moment.
I'm so cool. I got a bed over there with my name on it. I'm cool with it. Yeah, do it. Girl, you got the key. Gates. You got the answers. You got your scanner. Do it, girl. I don't care. I've got Antonio on the line.
Antonio's like, leave me alone.
Why did you call me?
I don't
me
care
Antonio?
What you do. Open the door, but just leave me alone.
So does the door open.
I was getting there. Because at that moment, they've made the wise or whatever decision to not to open it, but they turn around and zombie Hudgens shows up.
Oh, jeez.
This is when they realize he's a bad guy. I don't know how he got down into the mine. I don't know how they didn't know he was behind them the entire time. Don't know how he got past the giant boulder that blocked rocks. The doorway.
He's a demon. He's a zombie.
Oh, you're sassy. Right. Casper was like, hey, I'll show you the back way.
Just stop having me steer boats and carry gold boxes in the middle of the ocean. I'll let you in wherever.
I can easily escort you to the lab. So he gets there and he has a giant gun. He's like, move out of the way. Goes back to the door. He turns the key. And right as he's turning the key, Richard Burke throws a knife. The knife lands right in his heart and he dies. So again, no protection. No protection whatsoever within this zombie situation. No advantages. At all.
These demon spirits have got to get a better game plan.
They're like, you unleashed us too early. We weren't done thinking about it.
We didn't consult the charts. We're not totally sure what the human body can take right now. Turns out the human body dies very easy.
Can't take much. I'll be honest with you. Can't take much.
You hit me, I die. Knife
We're
die.
We need a lot more zombies. It's going to be a quantity over quality situation.
We got to go through some Mulan style training because there's no benefit to inhabiting these bodies. We're better off staying in our zombie world.
100%. There has no game plan on the behalf of the zombies. So he
they
dies
didn't think this one out.
Immediately.
They've had thousands of years.
It's sort of like when someone opens the door on you and you're not quite ready or not quite done getting dressed. That's like the energy of what happened. They were like thinking about it. They were talking about it. The door opens. They're like, we weren't ready.
I'm going to look fly as fuck when this door opens. But then they catch you in your underwear and you're like,
exactly. Exactly.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
So he dies immediately and the door is now open and they are not sure what to do. But they, of course, decide to explode it because that's what you got to do.
Yeah, exploding doors kills demons. Yep.
They also have found a way out, which is, you know those like storm door cellar things for tornadoes?
Yeah.
There's like a pair of those right by the orphanage. And
so they
the passage
that far
out of the mine.
So they were very far under the ground.
It doesn't make any sense. They've been trapped like hundreds of feet. And all of a sudden they find this way out and it's like cellar doors right in front of the orphanage house. Anyway, Burke stays behind to explode because he wants to explode the portal. And
sacrifice.
Christian Slater
sacrifice.
And Tara Reid come out of the doors. Now, this is also a very, you think Burke is dead. But that cuts back to him, and he's laying on the ground, and he's breathing, and he's coughing, and you're like, okay, so he survived the explosion. That's good. Back on the surface, Tara Reid and Christian Slater are touring the facilities. Nobody's around. The orphanage is completely empty. And then there's all these overarching shots of the city, and it's empty, and it's quiet, and there's a little title card that says, 8:45 a.m., the city's evacuated. But Colin, this is the end of the movie. And Christian Slater's voiceover says,
but like the Abkhani discovered, there's a price to pay for bringing darkness into the light. The Abkhani people were wiped off the face of the earth. And now, it looks like it's happening all over again.
Oh, so, my God. So
all the humans are dead. They're gone. They disappeared completely. At the very last shot is a growl, like a demon dog growl, and Tara Reid and Christian Slater turn around, and then it goes black. So
you shut your wet dick hole. This is the
that's
worst.
It.
Couple questions.
That's
if
it.
Humans were, if the Abenaki, I just keep thinking Anunnaki. What is it?
Abkhani, you mean?
Abkhani were wiped from the earth from these demons. Who the fuck left the different puzzle pieces across the earth?
That's why I said, okay. I'm just now realizing, remind me to circle back. Because if they knew that the consequence was being wiped off the face of the earth, then no one would be left to write the warning.
Casper. He's like, I'm the one good ghost, you guys.
I just wanted to live eternity in peace. Now we gotta make this whole expeditious puzzle. I don't know, guys.
It makes no sense. This is the dumbest thing
None.
I've ever heard.
And then,
and just because they opened the portal from the demons, humans just disappear?
Yes, which is why the title card that says evacuated doesn't make any sense. Why even put the title card up? Why tell us that it's 8:45 in the morning And why tell us the city's been evacuated when clearly they've been wiped off the face of the planet by the portal to hell?
Do you think they have time to evacuate?
Yes, and where would they go?
It's like the Rapture.
Where would they go? Yes, I don't understand why they chose to put that in the movie because it doesn't make any sense. And that's also the reason why I brought up Richard Burke breathing, that he survived, because you think that maybe we're going to cut back to him and see what he's doing. Nope. Nope. We never see him again. So it doesn't even matter that he survived because everybody gets wiped out.
So demons have nothing to do with this. It's just human souls being zapped from the body when a fake door gets bloated up.
I don't know. I guess. I don't know. Because the demon, there's no demon dogs running the city. It's not like they're like, oh, it's our time now.
The demon dogs are parliament. Like, finally someone opened that portal. God damn it.
I have been waiting to do government bureaucracy for thousands
Can
of years. I'm going to make so much red tape.
City? Can we talk commercial planning?
It's my yes, board meetings left and right.
Someone get me Antonio. We need some charts from 1999 to see how to run this place.
He's like, demon dogs, leave me alone.
Demon dog comes in. Excuse me.
I need the lists from 1999.
Leave me alone, demon.
I'm sorry, but my boss really pissed right now. And it really needs some files to understand how city planning works.
I've been waiting to ask this.
I know your family's been destroyed, but you told them to leave you alone, so we thought it was kind of convenient.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Go back to the portal, bitch. Leave me alone.
Oh my God. I can just imagine Antonio doesn't even know that everyone's missing. He's just completely, completely oblivious.
He doesn't know or he doesn't care. I hope doesn't there's even a look Alone up. In the Dark 2 where Antonio is the only human left and he's just working with the demon dogs.
That's amazing.
Oh my gosh, this movie was so stupid.
It's so stupid. And he's like, the Abkhani knew that, you know, they got wiped off the face of the planet because of this. And I guess it's happening again. And then, like I said, it blacks out. So
not only did the Abkhani get wiped off the planet.
And where is he telling the story from?
Well, he knew it.
Where the fuck is the voiceover coming from?
He pre-recorded it. So the demon dogs are playing it on his computer.
He's no, like, but my Casper, question is, as soon as all the humans die, press play.
But I have another question. If all the Abnaki, what are they called again?
Abkhani.
If they were all wiped out, then there's no humans on Earth. So did we just, like, there would be no one to, like, where
Make
does humanity
puzzle.
Start again?
Yes. Also very true. Maybe it was just the Abkhani. Maybe there were still other
demons
people,
are very specific about who they kill. And if
I mean, Abkhanis were the ones Abkhanis. That started messing with the spirit world. So,
but that other tribe right next to them, they're cool. They're cool with it.
And yeah, but that's kind of what I'm saying is, like, you're right. Who's perpetuating humanity? And then if these dudes from the 713 accidentally opened it, actually, no, it's the zombies who orchestrated. And, like, the evil powers that orchestrated the portal being open, none of these people knew they were doing it. They weren't doing it on purpose. I don't understand why the zombies are the ones punishing the humans when the humans didn't really know what was going on. Like, they didn't know that these puzzle pieces fit together. They had no idea what they were doing. So it's like the zombies knew what was happening, but yet, I don't know, maybe they're killing all the humans to take over.
I also want
to
know about, like, the zombie demon spirits on the other end, because this is like a duality of spirituality and, you know, like, physical and spiritual world or whatever. Like, right. On their end, is there a movie from their perspective? Of like, yeah. Hey, we're noticing that the humans are doing some weird shit. We're getting some weird vibes. 714, get your spirit guns out, because something weird is about to happen.
Gear up.
And were there humans, like, infiltrating their system, being like, hey, guys, guess what I heard about you? You can't open the portal. Like, does it? I don't know. You guys, we always try to make these short and sweet, but we always just can't. There's no way.
Oh, this one was wild, too. And I left out so much, but it's just, it was, oh,
I
man.
I wonder why
no
I got
logic.
A 1%.
I know, because it was so good.
It was so good. It was easy to follow. If I can't follow it watching it, there's no way I'm following listening to it.
All I care about is that I met Antonio. That's all I care about. That's all I care about.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. You guys
are
welcome.
Thank you for listening to this. This was one of our more batshit crazy episodes. If anyone is even listening at this point, this was definitely one of our most batshit. We hope you liked it, and we'll see you next week.
Keep your eyes out for demon dogs.